Here she comes.
That wasn't that embarrassing, Jeremy. He promised he would tell, oh, that's loud, some embarrassing stories about me, but maybe later. Well, it's great to be here this morning. Thank you all for being here. I felt so loved this morning as we were in the prayer room together, just with everyone praying for me. And it just really made me feel the love of what the body of Christ can be to one another. And I'm really thankful for that. I'm going to try not to be too teary. But so this morning, we're going to be sharing, I'm going to be talking about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trusting in the Lord. So God has shown me over this past week that preaching a sermon this morning is not something that I can do on my own. So it's interesting how, as I prepared to speak this morning about trusting in the Lord and living fearlessly, I had one of the most difficult weeks. I actually just moved yesterday, so everything, all the emotional stuff leading up to a move, and then preaching for my first time, it's kind of a lot. It was very challenging. But I actually was even more convinced that this is exactly what I need to talk about this morning, because it's something that I need to speak over myself and speak over you as well. So let's just pray together. I'd like you to join me and pray that my words this morning would not be words from me, but it would be from the Holy Spirit. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this place where we can worship you. Thank you for this place where we can join together as family and friends and learn to love one another. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you give us everything we need. Your divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. And Lord, we just, I just want to offer myself up to you this morning, Lord, that you would be able to just speak through me. And that every word that I speak would be your Holy Spirit through me. Thank you, Lord, for your promise that you show your strength through our weaknesses. We give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of today's sermon is Trusting in the Lord, Living Fearlessly. So fear and anxiety has been something that I've actually struggled with a lot in my life since I was a child. And I remember when I was about 9 or 10 years old, my mom was praying with me before bed, and she said to me, Lindsay, this is God's verse for you. And she said, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love, power, and self-control. Another version says, a sound mind. That's from 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. Once again, when I was 17 years old, God brought another verse into my life when I really needed it. I was at camp, and I remember just going through a real time of searching and questioning what I believe. And, you know, is God really who he says he is? How can I trust the Bible? All of these real big faith struggles, and my faith was very shaken. And I was in the camp kitchen, and they had all these verses on the walls and on the cupboards and stuff, and I just remember seeing, be strong and courageous, do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Joshua 1 verse 9. And it was like that verse just popped out and hit me in the face, and I ended up putting that that verse to music that summer as well. And that has definitely been a life verse for me. And about a year and a half ago, I was undergoing such anxiety that I decided, okay, I need to do something different. I need to figure out, what does God have to say about fear and anxiety? During this time, God used the ministry of Joyce Meyer hugely in my life, and to fight the battle She wrote The Battlefield of the Mind, and she really encouraged me and inspired me just to throw my trust and throw my faith on God. In my own searching, I found countless passages where God says, "Do not fear," and the continual encouragement of the power and victory we have as Christians because of Him who lives in us. So these are some wonderful truths and some wonderful promises. I love knowing that I can be strong and courageous because God is with me wherever I go. I love knowing that I can access this spirit of power, love, and a sound mind because that is what He's given me, not fear. So let's look at the passage for today from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Now, I put three different versions up on the screen here. Feel free to use your Bibles if you want. I probably got you covered, but so the New King James Version, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. And the New Living Translation, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. And finally, the Message paraphrase, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. So, the question is, why should we trust God? It states very clearly that we should trust in the Lord, not lean on our own understanding, but I just wanted to take a look at why should we trust God. So first of all, we have to take a look at who God is and then who we are. So God is the creator of all things. We know that He is an uncreated being. He has always existed and He will always exist. We know that God is omniscient, which means all-knowing, omnipotent, all-powerful, and omnipresent, present everywhere at the same time. God is so big and yet is involved in the smallest details of our lives. He even knows the numbers of hairs on our heads. Now, we are created. We were born and we will die. We have limited understanding, limited power, and can only be in one place at a time. Not one of us can completely know another person's heart, life, and world. We are very limited. We cannot see the whole picture. Isaiah 40, 21 to 31, if you just want to follow along on the screen with me here. Actually, I'm just going to read it off the screen as well. Haven't you heard? Don't you understand? Are you deaf to the words of God, the words He gave before the world began? Are you so ignorant? God sits above the circle of the earth. The people below seem like grasshoppers to Him. He spreads out the heavens like a curtain and makes His tent from them. He judges the great people of the world and brings them all to nothing. They hardly get started, barely taking root, when He blows on them and they wither. The wind carries them off like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Asks the Holy One. Look up into the heavens. Who created all the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. Because of His great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. O Jacob, you can fill in your own name here if you want. How can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? O Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of His understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. I found it interesting while we were all praying up here, a few of the people spoke this verse and another couple that are coming up. So it's a good sign that this is what God's trying to speak today. I just want to read that last verse one more time. Those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. This image is one of supernatural strength and peace and joy. So, have you ever watched a duck fly before? Just picture it in your head for a second. They're not exactly graceful. They flap their wings so hard to get to wherever they need to go, right? And if they ever stop flapping their wings, what happens? They're pretty much going to go down. And then we have an eagle. Eagles rise to the heights and just allow the wind to lift them up and soar. It's effortless. This can be our experience when we trust in the Lord and don't depend on our own understanding. God is like the wind that moves us along and allows us to soar to new heights. But this only happens when we have complete surrender and dependence on the wind's ability to carry us. So another reason we should trust God is because God's heart for us is good. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 103. And I just wanted to read the first part of that as well. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. So now that we've established it's definitely a good thing to trust in the Lord because he sees the whole picture and because his heart is good for us, so how do we do it? I think this is the most challenging part of life, is actually knowing how. And I'm, as I said already, I'm on a journey with you guys, and it's learning how to do it. So the first most important thing in learning how to trust the Lord is to know him. How can you trust someone that you don't know? It's as simple as that. If I were to walk up to a complete stranger and just hand them my purse and say, hey, can you watch this for me for a second? You'd think I'm crazy. I would think I'm crazy. But if I went up to someone I trust, like my mom, and I said, Mom, can you watch my purse for a second? Obviously, like, I would be completely confident that she would be able to give that back to me, and hopefully, and I'm just kidding. She would. So you need to know the person that you're trusting, that you're putting your trust in. It doesn't make sense to trust someone you don't know. And relationships require communication. So if we're in a relationship with God, we need to communicate with him. And here's the practical part of it, is meditating on God's word, praying, and listening. In order to come to know God in a deep personal relationship, we need to dive into the Bible, learn the scriptures like there's nothing more important in life. We should be so hungry for the word of God that it's like the only food that will satisfy our souls. We should look forward to reading the Bible eagerly. And if that desire is not there yet, to discipline ourselves to do it until we can't live without it. And this is something, again, I need to be more into and continually just learn, meditate on the scriptures and read bigger portions of scriptures, get involved in a Bible study. There's so many ways, but in reading the Bible, there is life. And memorizing scripture. It's so amazing how, as I prepared for this, for speaking this morning, the more you know the Bible, God just pops those verses into your mind. And sometimes as I'm driving, I love just being in my car driving and praying. And God always speaks to me. And usually it's through a scripture verse that will just pop in my head. And whatever it's about, if you're asking God for wisdom, continue to read your Bible, and the more you read it, the more it'll just, God will use those in those times where you don't necessarily, you're not able to read your Bible. But memorizing is a wonderful way to know the Lord. And praying and listening. God reveals things to us through the voice of his Holy Spirit if we are willing to take the time to seek him, to ask him for things, and to listen to him. God delights in answering our prayers. Hebrews 11:6 says that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. The second way we can put this trust into practice is through surrender. Do you remember when I was talking about the eagle soaring? And how in order to soar, the eagle needs to be completely dependent and surrendered to the wind? Trusting in the Lord is pretty much synonymous with surrender. This surrender needs to be absolute and not partial. So I just want to do a little illustration here. Hopefully it makes sense. So take this cup. So if this cup, which it was made to fill liquid and for me to drink it, obviously. I feel like I'm teaching Sunday school, sorry. If this cup was not surrendered to my hand, then say it was had a mind of its own, if it was not surrendered, it would make a big mess of things, right? It wouldn't be able to fulfill the purpose for which it was made. So, a cup needs to be absolutely surrendered in order to fulfill its purpose and the reason it was made, and it's the same with us. Andrew Murray wrote a book called Absolute Surrender, which is actually a really excellent read if you have a chance to read it at some point. So I just wanted to share a little quote from there. I ask, what has God promised you, and what can God do to fill a vessel absolutely surrendered to him? Oh, God wants to bless you in a way beyond what you expect. From the beginning, ear has not heard, neither has the eye seen, what God has prepared for them that wait for him. God has prepared unheard of things, blessings much more wonderful than you can imagine, more mighty than you can conceive. They are divine blessings. Oh, say now, I give myself absolutely to God, to his will, to do only what God wants. It is God who will enable you to carry out the surrender. And on the other side, come and say, I give myself absolutely to God to let him work in me to will and to do of his good pleasure as he has promised to do. Yes, the living God wants to work in us, in his children, in a way that we cannot understand, but that God's word has revealed, and he wants to work in us every moment of the day. God is willing to maintain our life. Only let our absolute surrender be one of simple, childlike, and unbounded trust. Keep your eyes on Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 11, which is another reference from this morning, cool, we read of the great men and women in the Old Testament of the Bible who were heroes of faith. They were men and women who did extraordinary things for God because they simply had faith. These people were nothing special in and of themselves. In fact, they were weak and often foolish in the eyes of the world, but their complete reliance on God allowed him to do amazing things in their lives. So having just talked about the great things God accomplished through these people of faith, the author of Hebrews writes, therefore, since we are surrounded by a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. That's Hebrews 12, 1 to 2. So who is it that initiates and perfects our faith? It's Jesus, right? So the interesting thing is here that there's two sides of it. We're the ones who run, and we run with endurance, and we throw off everything that, all the sin that so easily entangles us, but it's Jesus who is the initiator of our faith and the perfecter of our faith. So my third point here is to let him do it. As we just read about Jesus initiating and perfecting our faith, God doesn't give us a long list of do's and don'ts and then expect us to do it in our own strength. In fact, Jesus himself said in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. By faith, we remain in him, and we trust that it is his perfect life within us that produces much fruit. And Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And 1 Thessalonians 5:23 to 24, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. God is the one who sanctifies us. He's the one who keeps us on track. He's the one who makes us blameless through Jesus Christ. And Philippians 2:13, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. This verse is just so rich. Like, first of all, it's God working in us. He gives us the desire and the power to do what pleases him. And my fourth point here is how to trust in God. Lead your heart. Faith is not a feeling. I'll admit to you, I'm a very emotional person. I feel things very deeply. And this can be a wonderful gift from God if I use it in the right way. But there have been times that I have actually been deceived by my emotions. Sometimes I have felt something was from God, but found out later that I was depending too much on my feelings. There are certain truths that I know, that I know, that I know are from God, like truths from the Bible. I know. However, even these can be affected by my feelings at times. For example, does God love me? Does God really love me? Like, obviously, this is what the first thing we learn in Sunday school, and sometimes, like, when you're witnessing to someone, you tell them God loves them. It's the most foundational truth. And the Bible's overflowing with God's love for humanity, both broadly and intimately. And yet, sometimes my feelings tell me it's not true. So what do I do? Do I follow my feelings? Or do I tell my feelings to follow my faith? In recent months, when I've been tempted to doubt God or question him in certain things, I have slapped my feelings in the face by speaking the words out loud, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. Because I know that I cannot trust these feelings of fear and doubt. They are not from the Lord. My faith is going to depend on who God is. We as Christians cannot live by our emotions. We need to learn how to line up our emotions and thoughts with the truth of God. And our feelings need to come under the control of the Holy Spirit, and that is developed with time, obedient submission, in meditation on God's word, and in fasting and prayer. So let's quickly look at the second part of this. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. So I wanted to get a little bit of audience participation here. In case I'm too boring here, but what does it mean to acknowledge him? What does it mean to acknowledge the Lord? Give him credit? Be obedient? Mm-hmm. Seek his will? Listen? Mm-hmm. Trust him? Follow what he tells you to do. Ask for direction. Absolutely. These are great. From the pulpit commentary online, I looked up the original term, acknowledge, means to know or to recognize, and also to consider or reflect upon. And they wrote in this definition, it is not a mere theoretical acknowledgement, but one that engages the whole energies of the soul and sees in God power, wisdom, providence, goodness, and justice. I like how the Message Bible paraphrase puts it. It kind of sums up everything we came up with as well. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. there is a glorious promise that we haven't looked at yet in this passage. And God is so good to give us his wonderful promises that we can cling to in the midst of a changing, unstable world. Like many promises, this one also depends on our action in order for it to be fulfilled. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. He will direct your paths. How often do we long for direction? How often do you ask God in your life for wisdom to know the right way to go? I know that this is one of my most common prayers. And I also know that in my life, every time I have prayed and asked God and acknowledged him and trusted him, he's never let me down. Sometimes he's seemed silent and frustratingly so. You just want to get an answer from God, but he always comes through, and often at the last minute. Anyone know what I'm talking about here? But in all those situations, he has worked to increase my faith and dependence on him. I had a thought just pop into my head as well about how often we think that God is out to just make us happy. And he's, you know, his heart for us is good. And I read scripture about how he heals our diseases and forgives our sins and crowns us with love and compassion. But God does not exist to make us happy. He is a holy God. And he exists to make us holy and to make us people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. That's somewhere from Titus. I don't remember the exact reference, but he wants to create people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. And the greatest thing about that is the more we become like him, the more we just desire. And there is no greater joy than just being, recognizing that the Holy Spirit is living in us and making us more like him. It's a beautiful thing. So what are God's promises that we read here in Proverbs 6? We have here, he will direct your paths, he will keep you on track, and he will show you the way to go. I wonder what God could do in us and through us if we truly trusted him, not depending on our own understanding. What kinds of paths does God want to take you on, but maybe you are too afraid or doubtful to step out? Let us pursue knowing God deeper, so that we can surrender absolutely to him. Let us keep our eyes on Jesus and allow him to do his work of faith in our hearts as we join right along by leading our feelings to follow our faith and not the other way around. Let us continually acknowledge him in everything and see what kind of exciting adventures he has prepared for us. And I'd just like to leave you with one final verse as the worship team comes up. And one more promise from Romans 10, verse 11. As the scriptures tell us, anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. And another version says, anyone who hopes in the Lord will never be put to shame.